The noble Prophet Raufur Rahim, Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, stated that on the Day of Judgment there will be such people whose faces, their faces will be turned around 180 degrees behind their backs. Allahu Akbar. This will be a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those human beings, for those particular people. And this will be a weird, you can say, unique form of azab, punishment. They will be in front of everyone in mankind, and their faces will have been turned around behind their backs. There will be Muslims, believers. There will be those who recited the kalima, who prayed salah, who practiced all the deeds because they were believers. So this statement of the noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which he told us, it's a very big warning, admonishment for the ummah, that it's sad we have the Quran, we have everything, we have belief, we have the guidance, but we'll still be in such loss on the Day of Judgment, and the whole of the dunya will be looking that those people, their faces will be turned around behind their backs. It will be a very, you can say, individual or unique or singled out form of punishment. That what sin must have been committed that will give this punishment? Think about it. Now, if we look at the punishment here, we have to think that what a sin a person must be doing at that time in the world, that due to this, he will get the punishment, this form of punishment in the hereafter on the Day of Judgment. Think what sin he must be committing on the earth during the lifetime. And it's sad that what will be this sin? What is the basis of the sin? That in the world, what will be the style of committing this sin, the manner of committing this sin that will result in that consequence of that punishment? Very, we can say, small thing. Insignificant we call it, but such a big punishment for it. So we should consider that it's a massive sin, a massive mistake, a wrongdoing. We should be alert. But despite this, despite knowing that this punishment will be given, we consider this a minor, insignificant, small we call it. It's not important. That is so easy to practice this sin. So easy for us. It's like, you know, just the passing of the seconds. We just do this action. Rather, those people who commit this sin, they're not worried about the fast or Ramadan, whether that's there at the time, whether it's haram, or we're in the Masjid al-Nabawi in the courtyard, or in Haram Sharif in Makkah, or whether we're doing tawaf at that time, or we're drinking zamzam at that time. They don't know, they don't realize, appreciate that they're in the Masjid, or they're outside the Masjid. They don't appreciate anything, any condition, any surround, any environment at that time. And nothing stops the person from committing the action today. Nothing prevents him. He's got no awareness, consciousness. And this is the example. That it's so easy to do this action. Takes a second and a person does the action. Look at this. 1 second. Such a big sin. Such a big punishment. But we take it for granted. We take it for granted. We say it's nothing. Just the passing of the seconds. Take it for granted. Allahu Akbar. What a big, big point on the Day of Judgment. The punishment for this sin is so big. Today, my brothers, my colleagues, this is the night of Jumu'ah. This is the moment, the moments, the time of karam, fadl, Allah's mercy, rahmah is showering down, mercies of Allah are raining down. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has collected us, gathered us, assembled us for this reason, upon this fikr, this worry, that we need to repent for our sins. Repent on our sins. We need to cry in Allah's presence. We need to repent and do tawbah, that Allah, the sins I've committed, forgive me. This is our maqsad, our objective. This is the objective that I bring forth to this assembly. Not here, who is pious, who is better, who's not better, what are we, etc. No, just the objective is that in the grave and on the day of judgment and every phase after we pass away, that Allah Ta'ala gives us success. That's the objective of coming here today. And what I'm saying to you today, what I'm discussing with you, come, let's think now in the presence of Allah. Let's lower ourselves, humble, humility, sincerity, and promise to Allah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, with your permission, with your assistance, we will not commit this sin again. Make the promise, inshallah. Make the solid promise. Don't fear. Don't tremble. It's so easy. It's so easy. And I'm not the one saying, I speak to myself, for myself, because mashallah, I'm not going to keep a doubt about you or bad thought that you do the sin. I'm speaking to myself as the person who's doing the sin. It's so easy to do this sin, and we can think that this sin has been practiced so much before that I don't want to get trapped again. So it's better today that on this point we promise to Allah, we bow to Allah, we're humble in front of Allah due to this night, the night of dhikr, the beautiful, blessed moments and times that Allah Ta'ala allows our repentance and forgiveness, grants it to us, and we save ourselves for the rest of our life from this sin. We think it's a little thing. It's not even important. And it happened so quickly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has defined this sin in the Quran. In the Quran, Allah has mentioned it clearly. وَلَا يَقْتَبْ بَعْدَكُمْ بَعْدَ, Allah says. If you read the Quran, the verses of the Quran, وَلَا يَقْتَبْ بَعْدَكُمْ بَعْدَ, Allah says. That people, O people, Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran, that don't speak ill behind the back of your brother. Don't speak such words behind the back of your brother against that person. Don't say such a thing. Don't say defects. Don't bring out the defects in your brethren. Don't bring out the negatives in your brethren. That if they hear this, it will give them pain. Or if they are told this, it will give them pain or issues. And this is Allah Ta'ala's words in the Quran, that Allah, that today, after today, we promise to you that we will never say bad against anybody. We promise that from today, we will not bring out any defects in anyone. We won't speak ill of anyone, negatives about anyone, to anyone else. To this extent, that such a little thing, if we say bad about somebody, we say something bad about it, then look at his qameez, Allahu Akbar, then even this is bad. Allah says, even this is backbiting. Look at his shirt. Oh, look at his shirt. It's high. Oh, it's not good. Even this is backbiting, about which the Prophet ﷺ has mentioned. And there'll be a punishment for this. There'll be a punishment. Don't say it's a small punishment. There's a punishment. We can't even backbite on a little platform. Oh, he's a liar. He doesn't pray. He's this, he's that. He does this, he says that. He does this, he thinks this. Very easy to backbite. Wherever we see that after hours of recitation of the Quran, within seconds we backbite and spoil our deeds. Sitting in the mosque for hours and then we backbite within seconds. Allah mentions in the Quran that وَلَكْتُمْ بَعْدُكُمْ بَعْدَ, Allah says. Allah says that look how you commit the sins. And Allah Ta'ala has given the punishment in the Quran as well. In the Quran, this is such a big sin, this must be. And such a big punishment. And look at the taste that we think we get from doing this. Oh, look, we're just walking along. Oh, what does that person think he is? What is he? What's in that person? He's nothing special. No, Allah Ta'ala says, what's the benefit that you got? And look at the loss that you've got. Look at the loss and look at the benefit. That within a second where a person reaches due to their backbiting, the sin he attains, the punishment he attains. And we shouldn't do this. Allah Ta'ala tells us clearly, don't do this. Straight away Allah Ta'ala says, don't do this action. And Allah Ta'ala mentions the punishment as well after the sin. أَحَبُّ أَحَدَهُمْ أَن يَأْكُلُ. Allahu Akbar. Allah Ta'ala says, you are devouring. You are devouring, that when you speak bad about someone, you backbite behind his back. You know, it's behind the back that a person backbites. Look, This is a unique point here. And this is what I understand. That with this punishment, the punishment that's associated with backbiting, when a person gets the punishment on the Day of Judgment, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that their faces will be behind their backs. Imagine this. So what we see here, look at the association. Because a person backbites behind the person's back, so their faces will be behind their backs. Be turned upon their backs, behind their backs. And this is the punishment, isn't it? So literally the punishment, he will get that literally. Because in the dunya you used to speak behind the back of that person. He's like this, look at that person, he does this, she does this. He's not a friend, he's not your enemy, doesn't matter, no differentiation. You cannot speak of anybody in an ill manner, behind their backs. Negative, lower them, speak bad of them. And if that action or if that characteristic is not within that person who you're backbiting against, then you've gone to a higher level of sin, which is slandering, botan. So it's not ghibah, then it's slander, botan. So Allah Ta'ala says that the person who speaks like this, what will he be? He will be what? He is speaking behind the back of his brother and he's devouring the flesh of his brother. And the Quran has said, Allah Ta'ala has mentioned this. So will this not happen? Will this not happen? Allah Ta'ala says that you like this, that you are devouring, eating the flesh. Do you like to eat the flesh of your brother? No, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. Then why do you speak bad about him behind his back? Oh, no, I pray salah, I'm pious, I do things. That's on its own. That's on its own level. But this sin will shake the whole life of deeds. That's why you cannot claim to be pious and a person who is an abid, a worshipper, because this sin will shake all of the deeds on the Day of Judgment. It's such a big sin, it will shake all of the deeds to the core and devour them. Brothers, the majlis, the assemblies of the walis of Allah, we hear things, we read things, we read kitabs, our pious predecessors, our salaf, who have passed away before us, the salaf, and all the kitabs and the learnings. Can I say with yaqeen, certainty with you today? I can say with certainty, with yaqeen, total, that the style, their manner, their life, their lifestyle, the dhikr they learned, the khanqa, going to the wali, to the sheikh, their objective was not to attain khilafah, or to become famous, or to become pious, or to get a big name, or to be this, or to be that. No. Their maqsad, their objective, pick up the history. Look at the history, that when their objective was that when they depart from this world, they have the fikr, the worry, that all lifelong the ibadah I've done, the worship, the good deeds, that is my batin, my inner state clean? Am I pure? Is my heart pure? When you hear all of the events, the true events, not stories, dakanori, all of the events, even my sheikh, my hazrat, till the last second, to his last breath, he had this same fikr and worry. Will I depart from this world with a purification? Look at the great walis of Allah in history. You will have seen and heard and read, and I'm telling you, I'm communicating to you with total yaqeen, I will say this, that all our salaf, our qabirin, they used to do tazkiyah and tafsiyah, do ibadat in the night, spend time in the khanqa, they used to do so much dhikr and adhkar. All of these things were what? They had one fikr, that somehow they wanted the backbiting to come out, the kibr, the pride, the hasad, the envy, the bughz. This is not insignificant. The whole life we have to struggle and strive for this consequence. But we don't have the worry for this. We don't think about this. We are concentrating, emphasizing on dhahir, on external deeds. We're stuck to the external deeds. We have no fikr for our batini state, our inner state. And look at the walis, the pious predecessors, didn't have worry about the external state. They first had the worry about their batini, internal state. Thousands of books are written. Thousands of pages. Thousands of events. What can I tell you? Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi. So many thousands of kitabs is written. Despite this, it's written mustanad. It is confirmed from his khalifa. I've heard this and I'm communicating to you. The biggest worry that he had, Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullah, the biggest worry and concern and fikr and pastime, and his khalifa, mashallah, great khalifa, very close to him, he said that he was worried about haqqul ibad, his actions and how they affect the society and the people around them. Look, his tafasir, his kitabs, his books, his hadith, his fiqh, his jurisprudence. And his khas, special khalifa is saying this, that the fikr, the greatest worry and concern and anxiety, Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullah in his life, was for haqqul ibad, that how will his actions affect the people around him. Will there be positive or negative on the Day of Judgment? This one punishment. Tell me, where's our knowledge? Where's our tafsir? Where's our books? All of this showing off and physical showing off. All of this is fake. When a person looks in the mirror, it's not him in the mirror, is it? He's physically standing in front of me. My Hazrat gave me order. Go and teach and do dhikr. His maqsad, objective was this. And I will tell you today from the maktubat. And this was communicated every letter that Hazrat wrote to me. communicated to me, my sheikh, he admonished me, warned me in every letter. And he said, if you're sitting with your colleagues, clean, purify your own heart and do fikr for your students. And I can show you the letters. He never said to me, do this, you're an abdal, you're a qutb, you're a ghoso, make your students abdal, make them famous and give them khilafah and deputization. No, every time he wrote to me, you've gone to this country, you're teaching people, you're living here, then make sure you emphasize on akhlaq, on conduct, high level of conduct, so that people can see that how good is a Muslim, how good is his life. You are living in the country where people don't know about deen of Islam. I swear by Allah, I can show you this. My sheikh said that go and teach and spread akhlaq. Don't worry, you're living in that country where people are strange to Islam. They don't know about Islam. I can show you his letters. The Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came. Look at the land of the Arabs at that time. There was no akhlaq, no conduct, no manners. So my sheikh taught me the same, that you're going for the same mission. Just like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Jazirat al-Arab and there were no believers there. You don't look at there is the Yahud or disbeliever or Muslim. No, everyone has to be given his haq and his rights. And my Hazrat taught me this. And he gave me this ta'leem and sent me to this nation. He admonished me severely that don't go into anyone's arguments or disputes or issues or associate yourself with a jama'ah or with a group or with a sect, that you go and align yourself to one sect and you go against other people. No, you have one objective, teach of dhikr of Allah, do dhikr Allah and love and spread and the practice of the sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ, have fikr for yourself and for your colleagues and your students, because you've gone to such places where young people have gone there, they will forget their akhlaq. What a great ta'leem of my teacher. Where? 3,000 miles away in a dusty plain in the masjid, which was dusty. Mud huts for homes and mud structures for masjids. And that sheikh, my sheikh, is giving the message to the whole generation. And this is called the wali of Allah, who has the fikr for the ummah. And he's telling me, go there, make a khankah and earn money and send me some money back as well and collect money and make wealth. No way, he didn't say this. Such a strict guidelines came to me from Hazrat that beware, never ask for charity or try to raise money or go towards chanda or to put your hand out to people. This is not the tariqah of our salaf, of our pious predecessors. And if you start doing this, then all the fares will disappear. And this was the tarbiyat of my teacher. He said, beware, never raise the money. And this fakir has done this from day one. All the masjids that were made, there's no hisab kitab. Go and ask anybody, there's no accounts. No awareness of money. Some people used to come and ask for funds, and then I was forced to accept the request. They didn't have yaqeen. There's such a big jamaat and ask for chanda. Where shall I ask for the funds and the donations? Whatever I've got to myself, I'll give to you. But I don't ask from people. I don't appeal to people, because this was not the mission of my teacher. That don't ask the people for the money to run the affairs. So the objective of saying this is that the life of our salaf, their worry, their concern, anxiety, whether it was dhikr, adhkar, the khanqah, jumarat, the Thursday night, the dhikr of Jummah, Friday, or whichever day they had a fikr every day, that clean your batin so that when you go to your grave, that no sin is visible. No sin is visible. Become the human being, insan. That this is such a big sin. Such a big sin. We should try to work on this. Let's promise to Allah that this is a big sin. And there's a big loss due to this. And we haven't done fikr on this. It's not hard to come out of this. It's not hard to leave the sin. We can promise today and try from tomorrow. And Allah will take us out of the sin. Control your tongues. And that's why we do dhikr, for this reason, that our tongues should not move. There should be no fear or no feeling or negative. That when you start to look at the deficiency of somebody or negative somebody, let me give you a solution. That when you start to speak ill of someone, then straight away look in yourself and say, look how many defects I've got. Look how bad I am. And if somebody say these same words that I'm saying now about me, would I not feel angry? If someone points his finger to me, I'll be angry. If someone says to me, my hair is not correct, not nice, I'll say, who are you to tell me? And if someone says to me, you got white hairs, you say, you call me old? Are you calling me chacha? So this is the way I am. And I sit easily and comfortably behind the backs of people and speak ill of them. How sad. So if I don't want this for myself, that people speak to me like this, then why do I speak about them like this? I give an example. Hazrat Umm Salma radiallahu ta'ala anha. Do you know who this was? This was from the mother of the believer. She was from the mother of his Azwaj Mutahharat. Hazrat Umm Salma radiallahu ta'ala anha. That she was the wife, the mother of the believers, the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the situation of a nikah was similar. That Hazrat Umm Salama, her husband, he was a sahabi, radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him. And he passed away. And so this was the situation. And And she was expecting at that time, when the period of expectation finished and the child was born, then Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu gave her the message of nikah. Hazrat Umm Salama radiyallahu anha. And she rejected the proposition that, no, I have children and my age is also a lot, so I cannot enter into marriage. Then Hazrat Umar radiyallahu anhu took the invitation from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has proposed to marry you. She said that, please present my restrictions and my needs. I am older in age, I have children, and I will obviously have that as baggage. And if you prefer that, if you accept that, then alhamdulillah, there's nothing greater than this. Because everything was prepared and selected and chosen by Allah. Everything of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything, all of his affairs. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that's fine, I accept all of your conditions. And straightway she said to her son, the Umar, that you recite the nikah straightway, why are we delaying? So her son, he recited the nikah. And there were many characteristics. And she was from one of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But I will tell you two characteristics and qualities of Hazrat Umm Salama radhiyallahu anha. That she had love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And she loved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam so much, obviously, because he was the Prophet of Allah. And he was her blessed husband. And she had one habit, one quality. She had one quality characteristic that she used to read the Quran similar to the way of Rasulullah. So she used to read Quran a lot and in the same manner and style of Rasulullah. Someone asked that, how did Rasulullah used to read the Quran? She said, let me read to you. And she used to recite the whole verse in that same manner and style and method. This was one quality verse. And another habit of us, blessed, due to her love for Rasulullah, that everything of Rasulullah's personal items she used to collect, especially hairs of the Prophet. She collected them, Mu'a Mubarak. She used to collect them and she used to show them to people. In Musnad Ahmad, there's a hadith that Rasulullah's hairs she used to collect, and she used to demonstrate them and show them to people. And many other fadail of Hazrat Umm Salama radhiyallahu anha. So Hazrat Umm Salama radhiyallahu anha, to her came another woman. A woman approached her. And I'm giving you an example now of the sign of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam about backbiting. She came and said, Umm Salama, I've come to you and I want to ask you about a sin. And she said, what sin? Umm Salama asked her. She said, what is backbiting? The woman asked Hazrat Umm Salama radhiyallahu anha. Hazrat Umm Salama fell silent. She said, backbiting? What can I tell you about this sin? Let me tell you a story, a true story. She said, is it? She said, yes, I'll tell you a true story. She said, the story is such that one day such happened that it was the day of Jummah. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, went to pray Jummah salah. It was Jummah or certain other prayer. He went to pray and I was on my own. And from near to me, another woman came, and she was maybe one of the wives, or she was another woman. And she said, we were two at that time. We sat down, we started talking. We were talking, speaking, and we backbited, unfortunately. And after that, when the noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came back home, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood at the door frame, at the doorway. Listen to this clearly, brothers. And we were sitting there and we were looking at ourselves and let's look at reality today. Look at our lives. What do we do? Little, we call it little sin. But look at this sin, backbiting. The noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was at the doorway. He didn't come inside. And she, Umm Salama radhiyallahu anha, said that we were surprised that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam come in. He said, how can I come in? There's such a stench smell. And you and his clothes... He put his fingers on his nose and said, I can smell the meat from this room, the stench of meat. They said, Rasulullah, we haven't prepared anything, we haven't done anything, there's no meat here. Rasulullah said, what you are doing just now, all of that meat has gone into your stomachs and it's burnt meat. Straightway, what should you do? Put your fingers down your throat and clean your stomachs. So they said that they vomited. And when they vomited, those flesh of meat, the pieces of meat came out of their stomachs. Who said this? Hazrat Umm Salama radhiyallahu anha. The meat that they had eaten of their brethren, that they backbited. And this event was true, live in front of them. So brothers, never backbite. Never think about backbiting. Because backbiting is eating the flesh of the person you're backbiting against. Now you think these are jackanory tales? Folk tales? In which home is there today, Muslim house, where there is no backbiting? Which shop is there today that in that shop people are not backbiting against other people? Especially in our homes, we backbite. We've been shown this, that in that home where there is backbiting, it will be such a smelly, stinking, stench home that blessings of Allah and mercy will never come there. Rasulullah did not enter his home, his own home. So if he did not enter in his own home, then which rahmah and mercy will come in any home? Doesn't matter how much darood or whatever you do, ibadat, because I've given you the example of who? Rahmatul Alameen. Kashane Rasul, the story, the true story of Rasulullah's household. If mercies were not entering in his home, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's home, and he could not enter, then tell me in our homes, in your home, my home, we have bad actions, negatives, we have the graveyards in the homes, we have stench of the backbiting and such darkness. Then what is the reason for this? The reason is this. This hadith is telling us. The Quran says, وَلَا يَكْتُبْ بَعْدُكُمْ بَعْدٌ بَعْدًا. There should be backbite against our brothers, Abu Bakr Siddiq, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. Aha, I feel like I speak a lot in detail about this sin. So we have a great discussion on this. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, they went on a journey. They went on a journey. And they had somebody assisting them on a journey. And it's written his name in a certain hadith. In the hadith that I read, his name is written Usman Farsi. And in another hadith is not a name. This just there was an assistant who was the khadim assisting them from the two others, Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu, or another sahabi. I can't mention the name at the moment. So they were in the journey, and the khadim's job was he had to make some food, prepare the things, give the water. That on our journey you're going to assist us on our journey. So when it fell, the night fell on the journey, what happened was the khadim, the sahabi, he fell asleep. His eyes did not open. And he was snoring, he was asleep. What was he going to get in the morning? Abu Bakr Siddiq and Hazrat Umar, they went and saw he's sleeping. And both of them, they said this, that he is sleeping as if he's at home, so comfortably without any worry like a person sleeps. They just said this and they came back. And when they opened his eyes, they said that you haven't cooked anything, prepared anything. We've got the bread. So what you should do is that there's no dish cooked. So what you do is that go to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi and request that Rasulullah, we have some bread, and if you can give us some curry, some dish, then please, if you have something, so we can eat our food. He said, okay, fine. So the khadim, he went, and he went near to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi, and he presented himself to the house, and he presented himself, and he said, Rasulullah asked, how is it comes you come? Abu Bakr Siddiq and Hazrat Umar have sent me that we have the bread, but we don't have the food to eat with the bread. If you can give us some food. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi stated, they go and tell them that you have the dish, you had it and you've eaten it, you've devoured the meat, so why do you need any more food? So he went, and he went back with the answer. He was not going to ask any questions. So the sahabi said, Rasulullah said that you've already eaten the meat, you've devoured it, you had the meat, you've eaten it. They said, we had the meat, we had the dish, we've eaten it, we don't understand. They started to worry. They said, okay, let's go. Let's ask Rasulullah, what is behind this? So they went and they presented themselves in the court of Rasulullah and said, oh Rasulullah, we asked for some meat, some dish. That's why we sent the brother to ask you. We haven't eaten anything. And you, Rasulullah, answered. Rasulullah said, from your teeth I can still smell the burnt flesh that you ate. You backbited against your brother, didn't you? Didn't you say this about your brother? He's sleeping with comfort, like he's at home. Oh, they started shaking. Imagine the greatness of the sahabi, the greatest sahabi. They didn't think at that time, oh, we're the greatest, we're the better, we're not going to get punished. These two examples I've just told you now, how cautious we must be. Let's go further. Are we shaking? They said, Ya Rasulullah, oh, please, please, Allah, for the sake of Allah, for the sake of Allah, forgiveness, Allah, please do dua for us, do tawbah for us, ask for Allah's forgiveness for us. Please, Allah, forgive us for this sin we committed. Listen to the answer. Rasulullah says, situation is this, I cannot say anything about this. This sin is such a sin that the punishment for this sin is such, because this is haqqul ibad, the rights of society, that you committed the sin against your brother. Allah will not forgive you for this sin until that individual forgives you who you backbited against. Go to that individual. And he was your assistant on your journey, but you sinned in such a way that you need to beg to him for forgiveness. And if he forgives you, then you can do astaghfar to Allah, and only then will Allah accept the forgiveness. Ah, see this, my brothers? The rights of society. So now put the promise that from today we will not backbite. Do we promise? Promise, say inshallah. Doesn't matter what happens, don't waggle your tongue with backbite. Okay, Allah, we've done this mistake. We need to seek the forgiveness for this. Look, brothers. Look, dunya, the world we're in, there's wretchedness. And this sin The sins will make a person wretched, fine, in this world. But the wretchedness of the hereafter due to backbiting is the biggest destruction. The batini sins, we don't see them in the world today. The inner sins, our inner state. But in the hereafter, we'll realize what has happened to this person, to oppress someone, to injustice, to hit people, to hit women, to hit people who are poorer than us, to do dhulam, oppress people, beat people. You think there's not going to be no accounting for this? On the day of judgment, Allah says, such a punishment, I will never forgive this sin. The person you oppress, the woman, the man, the boy, the youth, until they don't forgive you. And will there be forgiveness on the day of judgment? No, they won't. Only here in this world. When you see that you can oppress someone or beat someone, you're higher than someone, richer than someone, stop yourself. Because Allah Ta'ala could punish us here, but Allah says, no, I'll wait until the Akhirah and then I will grab you. Then I will grab you. So an individual will come on the day of judgment. He will present himself in the court of Allah and his deeds book will open and he will be sitting quiet. He'll be waiting for someone to assist you. Allah, I used to pray. Oh, I used to fast. And I used to do this action and that action. And the other person says, Allah, I didn't do tabligh. I never used to do salah. I never used to fast. I never did no action. I had never no worship. I never used to go towards good deeds. Allah, I have nothing. So what will happen to me? I'm going to be punished. And he'll be afraid. And his book of deeds will be open. There'll be nothing. Then he'll see. And then he'll start crying that in his book of deeds is so much. He'll be amazed and shocked that he didn't do nothing. He'll say, huh? I didn't do anything. Tahajjud, salah, dhikr, adhkar, umrah, hajj, accepted, qabool. You'll say, Allah, your court is the court of justice and you cannot make a mistake, Allah, because you are the supreme master. But I didn't commit any deeds in the world. I didn't do any ibadah. Allah say, yes, you are right. You're honest, you had no deeds. But that person, he used to backbite against you. All of his deeds are transferred to your book of deeds. I've transferred them. So all the deeds that person backed against you, you've got his deeds. Doesn't matter what we are. Doesn't matter what rank I have. If I do backbiting against him, to whatever level I do backbiting, then he'll have more of my deeds. If I do a little bit of backbiting, then a few deeds of mine will go. But if I open my mouth and I speak about people, the good people, the pious people, think about this. That who am I backbiting against? Who am I speaking against? What am I backbiting about? Think about this for a few seconds. That this person, what is his rank, what is his status, and what am I saying against that person, and what am I saying about that person? When you open your mouth, you know, when you open your mouth and look at the status of that person, that who am I speaking about here? Is he a normal person, or is he azim, great rank status person? Is that person next to the qurb of Allah? Has he got the marifat of Allah and I'm backbiting against him? Then imagine the punishment of that backbiting on the judgment, and what I'll have to give as deeds for that person. So when he attained all the deeds, it said, Alhamdulillah, he went with the deeds and went into Jannah. Then the other man came, very easily, walking in softly, calmly. I've got deeds, I've got ibadah, I've got amal. When his book of deeds opens, nothing, it's zero, disappeared. He said, Allah, is this my book of deeds? Where are my deeds? Where's my hajj? My umrah? My dhikr? My tilawat? My recitation of Quran? My this and that and this and that? Allah say, nothing is left. Because you backbited and slandered those people you backbited against, all your deeds have been transferred to their account. You have nothing, zero balance, go into the fire of Jahannam. So in this dunya, there is destruction for the person who backbites, and imagine their destruction in the hereafter for the backbiting. Ashaddu min az-zina. Allah Ta'ala said that backbiting is worse than the adultery. Zina. Al-ghiba ashaddu min az-zina. Ghibat, backbiting, is worse than zina. So brothers, do tawbah today. Repent today. Am I going to do tawbah? Yes, Allah, honest tawbah. Wattaqullah, inna Allah ghafoorur raheem. Allah Ta'ala says, wattaqullah. Fear Allah if you want to end this sin. Look, the Quran says, if you want to end and eliminate and make this sin disappear, then grab hold of the wali of Allah and do tazkiyah. Wattaqullah. You have to have fear of Allah. And until and unless I don't have the fear of Allah in my heart, if my heart is not clean, doesn't matter how many speeches, lectures, waz, and assemblies and gatherings I go to, I'll stay like the monkey in the ape and I'll keep on doing the sins of ghibat. Wattaqullah. If you want to save yourself from backbiting, wattaqullah. Instill into your heart the fear of Allah. Sit in front of the wali of Allah. Instill the fear of Allah in your heart. When the khawf comes into your heart, and then these sins will go. Otherwise they will never go anywhere. And I have to grab hold of this. That's why we go to the majlis of the walis of Allah. That's why our pious predecessor, Salafus Salihin, used to get a sheikh. That's why stated, grab a sheikh who is physically close to you, who can protect you, look over you. Not that you're in the shamal, north, and sheikh is in junub. Ah, he's a great sheikh, wali, qatab ad-dal. He might be, but you're not close to him. You're not physically next to him. He can't assist you. But maybe there's a small-time sheikh in your vicinity who will save you from the sins and the punishment. Isn't it? This is, do you want to have the mango or do you want to count the seeds inside the mango? So look at the mango, don't look towards the seeds. Maybe from a normal sheikh you will get islah, but if you got nafs and you want big shot sheikh and you don't want to do islah, then you're going to say, oh, who's my sheikh? Big shot scholar, mufti, so I can tell people, you know, I'm the murid of this scholar, Hazrat Sheikh Mufti, 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 Mufti. He's this title, this scholar, Hafiz. And has he changed you? Has he rectified you, reformed you? No, I'm still an animal inside, I'm still a monkey. And this is our stand of tazkiyah. This is kibar, pride, to show off to people, he's my sheikh, he's my scholar, he's my teacher. This is a serious disease, and we made a joke of this science of tasawwuf. Tasawwuf today has become like buying and selling, bartering in the marketplace for fame and status and pride. The murid, he says, look at my sheikh, so great. And the sheikh says, look at my murids, they're so great. And look, I am the murid of the sheikh. No salah, is tazkiyah, no tafsiyah, just monkeys and lying, backbiting, zina, hasad, envy, totally is inside my heart. Have the qawfir wala wattaqullah. Allah says, fear me, fear Allah, have khawf, have fear of Allah. On the day of judgment, may not be that I'm presented in front of Allah and my face is turned around behind my back, 180 degrees. In the fear of Allah, if it's in the heart of the servants of Allah, then sit with those people, قُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. Because the walayat, the sheikh, if you sit with the sheikh, the teacher, it's transparent. His goodness will come into you. If you sit with a person with kibar, you'll become proud. If you look, sit next to a person who shows off, you'll become a show off. If you sit next to a person who's running after dunya materialism, you'll run after materialism. Whoever you sit next to, the color and the fragrance will rub off into you. If you sit with the fakir, the wali, who is not worried about wealth or shohrat or fame and status, and he's worried about his batin and cleaning his batin, then you will start to clean your batin. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورُ رَحِيمٌ. Repent in this way. Seek for wali of Allah, the pious person. Sit in his company and then have the connection with that person. Learn from him. إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورُ رَحِيمٌ. How? Allah says it's impossible you not be forgiven. All your previous deeds will be forgiven. All of them. Easy. Do tawbah. Straightforward tawbah. And the best tawbah is to take the hand of the teacher and do tawbah. Repent through how? How? It's explained to us, demonstrated to us so many times. How do I save myself from backbiting? If I'm backbiting, how do I get the forgiveness? Listen clearly. The tariqah, the method, the hukam is already there. The person that we've backbited against, what do we need to do? Seek that person, find out that person, go straight to that person. Brother, sister, I backbited against you. Straight to that person to save ourselves from the punishment. This is not a punishment. To go and be humble in front of the person, except this will kill off the pride, kill off, it will eliminate showing off. Go to that person, don't be embarrassed, and say to the person, look, I backbited against you, I'm sorry. And let's make it even easier, this repentance or asking forgiveness from the person. It could be that person that we are going to ask, he'll become a show off. Ah, you're coming to me now, huh? So you backbited against me so much. Okay, now I'll take revenge against you. And there's a cure for this. Because maybe you went to get forgiveness and he grabbed your neck or he rebuked you. Oh, I was waiting for you for days and now you're coming to me, huh? And you used to say this to me, huh? Now you see what I say to you. And he might do this. He may not accept your forgiveness. So what should we do then? Then this is the solution. Now go to the individual. Don't say that I've come to ask for forgiveness. There's a very easy method. Because if he's going to rebuke you or reject you, and there's danger that he's not going to accept it, then come to him and say, look, I've come to you, and in your right, there's some deficiency the way I treated you or said something in your haq, in your right. So I want to fulfill your haq in whatever to give to you or say about you. I've probably made some mistakes. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. So he won't know that you backbited or specifically what you said. You'll say that, look, if in the past I've done something wrong to you or done bad to you or etc., then please forgive me. And he's going to inshallah forgive you. So that will cover the backbiting as well. And there's another tariqah, another method as well, I'll tell you. A very normal statement when we go on Hajj or Umrah, we say something, don't we? When we depart, we go on a journey. You'll remember that statement. Very useful statement. Very useful action. Pay attention to this. Would we say, you're about to go Umrah or Hajj? Would we say, when you're going to meet someone, brother, oh, please forgive me? We say that, don't we? The please forgive me in Gujarati, I don't know what you say. What do you say? I can't remember. Just forgive us, isn't it? Forgive me that if I've sinned against you, committed wrong against you, then please forgive me. So we don't know how we are saving ourselves from the biggest thing. Make niyyah that all the sins I did against this person, the ghibat, the slander, the backbiting, this is the best opportunity. So go to a person, brother, please forgive me for all the wrongs I've done against you. And he'll say, brother, I forgive you. And that's the end of the story. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah, because it will cover you, won't it? You're going to say, brother, if I've done anything wrong against you, mistakes against you, wrongdoing, please forgive me. He'll say, I forgive you. So well, I'll bring you to another stage. Promise that, will you leave this sin from today? MashaAllah, MashaAllah. See how you leave that backbiting. Now I'll take you to another level of how to get repentance from the sin of backbiting. Ulama Iqram, they have given us another method of how to save ourselves. The scholars have explained from backbiting that if you've backbited against somebody and you've backbited and you have not gone to that person, for example, the ghibah does not reach that person. For example, I'm backbiting and I've said something bad about somebody behind his back. The ghibah has not reached to that person. That bad message or statement has not reached that person. So the ulama ikram have put out a solution that as long as that word does not get to that person, seek forgiveness straight away from Allah. Straight away. And then you don't need to go to that person to seek forgiveness from him, because you've already asked Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness from before it's reached. Because how do you know it's reached him or not? If you see a reaction, he's found out that you backbited, or someone else found out, or he said something bad against me, then the process will start, what I've said previously. But if no message has come, no body language, no reaction, then look at the words you've just said. Oh, look at his face. You think, look at his face. You say something, and you've done the action of shaitan against that person. Then what happens? What should you do? Then say istighfar, do tawbah to Allah, and do dua for that person. Inshallah, your solution will have been reached. So these are the four stages of how to seek forgiveness for backbiting, to seek Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness and start a new life. After today, don't backbite. Today is the night of Jummah. Tomorrow is Jummah. The sun will rise with the fadl of Allah. The sun of Jummah will come out. And then we can start a new life. Start a new life tomorrow. And this should be the new light of life. That after today, we should never backbite. We promise this to Allah. Allah, from our ends, we will try totally our best, that without any reason, there's no reason anyway to backbite. There's no need. Just silent. Have silence. And do dua to Allah and do istighfar. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen. Recite the Durood Sharif.